You're listening to CHSR 97.9 FM. Welcome to This Week in Fredericton, the show that takes a deep dive into the latest news from your community. I'm your host, Zach Roman, and in this week's episode, we talk to the people fighting for a new pool in Fredericton and visit the Charlotte Street Arts Center for a celebration of the talent of local youth. Local swimmers are working hard to ensure their advocacy for a new pool in Fredericton stays top of mind. Swimmers of all ages and disciplines are involved in the advocacy efforts, including groups like the Silver Dolphins, a club for people aged 50 and up, Artistic Swimming Fredericton, which provides coaching in synchronized aquatic fitness, and the UNB Masters Swim Club, which provides year-round coached swim practices for adults. Currently, these groups all swim at the Sir Max Aitken Pool, known as the SMA Pool, on the University of New Brunswick campus. The groups are thankful to have the pool and appreciate it being kept open for them, but the pool has reduced operating capacity due to its age. It can make finding time to practice difficult. Julie McFarlane is the head coach of Artistic Swimming Fredericton.
Especially right now where the UMB pool has reduced hours to try to keep the longevity of the pool as long as we can, it has affected the number of hours that we're able to rent for sure. We're making do for sure. And we appreciate all the help that we can to keep our programs alive, but it does create some challenges for sure. We've been in need of a new pool for a very long time, almost 10 years at least. It's definitely had an impact on the aquatics community for sure. We're really looking to get a new pool built in the city, which is very much needed, and have the current pool, the UMB pool, maintained until a new pool is built. And that's a really key factor as well. I think a lot of the frustration also comes from, it seems like we make some sort of headway. There's been surveys done. There's been an architectural firm has drawn up plans, like a needs survey has been done in terms of what this new facility would need to look like to service the community. And then it just seems like it kind of dissipates and we don't really get any further than that. We've had a needs survey done twice now, I believe, and both times it's been very clear that the city is in need of an aquatics facility. Then it just seems to get put on the back burner. We're getting to the point where it is a dire situation for sure. I've been involved in aquatic sports for a very long time. And I remember back when I was an athlete, this was something that was kind of being talked about and the need for a new pool. And now we're quite a few years later and we're still talking about it. The biggest thing is we would love to see some growth and some forward movement with it for sure. The commitment to keeping aquatics alive and in the city is definitely on our minds, that's for sure.
Lynn Marr is one of the main instructors for the Silver Dolphins Swim Club.
I get sometimes up to 35 people in the class, and a lot of them have medical issues that we can accommodate while they are in the pool. Because there's a no-end pack, it can cool their body so they don't get overheated. They can work at the speed and the force that they can do, so that regardless of their age. So we're able to accommodate so many people. So I've had so many people saying, oh, I'm waiting for a knee replacement, or I'm waiting for a hip to be replaced. And they come into the pool, we can guide them and help them until they get the surgery, and then they can come back to us so they stay healthy. So the scariest part for us is knowing that we have no place to go now if SMA is to close. Those people, when I see them and teach them, they get so much benefit from being in the pool that it'd be a shame to not have anyone, like not have a place to go. So if I, like just to give you an example, when we had the pandemic and we had to close, we were 80 members and we came back at 65 after 2 years when we slowly started to come back. They just, some of them just got too sick to come back. Injuries got worse, so they couldn't come back anymore. Some of them passed away because the social aspect of our class is also very important. So that's why we want to try to keep the SMA open until we get a new one.
Gary Arsenault, a spokesman for the Silver Dolphins, has been involved in the fight for a new pool for a long time.
So I actually started 10 years ago when UNB first declared that the Sir Max Aitken pool was going to close. And it was at that point that we kind of mobilized and trying to get a group together to see what was going to happen, because that's where we swam, was the Sir Max Aitken. So a bunch of us got together, formed a group that started heading up, you know, how are we going to get a new pool built, you know, when, where, why, and all those types of things. And then luckily the province, the city, Fredericton, got together and funded to keep the SMA pool open for the duration that it was going to take to build a new pool. And of course, that hasn't happened over the past 10 years now. So here we are 10 years later, and we still don't have a pool. And in fact, now we're kind of even further behind the eight ball than we were 10 years ago, because there's some Aitken pool now is 10 years down the road when it was supposed to have been closed. So it's in pretty sad shape. In fact, it's had several failures this last year or so. So it's doubtful as to how long it will be operating now. So we're very concerned about that, and we're pushing, or we're trying to help out where we can in terms of getting this new pool built. While at the same time, we've got to keep the Sir Max Aitken pool open to bridge us till we get to a new pool. So there's two very distinct things happening here, one of which is the Sir Max Aitken has definitely got to stay open. Otherwise, there just isn't the capacity within Fredericton, other, like in the other aquatic, the other pools, there's just not the capacity to absorb all the people that use the SMA pool, right? So that's where we are right now. So we don't have a new pool, and we've got an aging pool that is very unreliable. So our efforts now are to make people more aware of that. It's to, you know, help. We're going to, you know, we're trying to take a positive aspect of this to help the city, you know, get this thing built in whatever way we can.
So my name is Karen Cunningham. I'm a swimmer with the UNB Masters Swim Club. I also serve on their board. I've been with Masters since, I think, 1996. Swimming's been a part of my life since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I started taking swimming lessons as a kid. I graduated into joining the local competitive swim team when I was, I think, 13. No, I was younger than that. I was 10. 10, 9 or 10, because I'd gone as far as I could go in the Red Cross swimming lessons program at my age. I had to be 14 to go to the next level. So I went, joined the swim club. That became, swam all through school. Took a hiatus from it for a while, but then came back. I guess I was close to 30. It's a community, and it's a way to have good fitness. With not, and as we aged, really good with on the joints, you know, you're in the water. So for me, it's been a sense of community. I think some of my best friends are fellow swimmers, and that was always the way growing up as well. And it's something I can do as long as I'm alive. I can keep swimming. That's why it's important to me. It's a big, huge part of my life. So the UNB Masters Swim Club, or I started back in the, I think, late 80s. I'm not sure. It's been around a long time. It is for people over 18, no upper age limit. Some people train and swim competitively. Some of us swim for recreation. It's a very welcoming club for anyone of any, basically any swimming ability. We ask that you be able to swim a whole length of the pool without stopping, and, you know, maybe four lengths of the pool before you have to actually get out. So that's 100 meters, right? It's not that far. So that's what we ask people. We're made up of adult swimmers. Most people are either have jobs and are working or are retired. So we need to have hours that accommodate people in different parts of, you know, stages of life. our hours have always been from 7 till 8 in the morning on two mornings a week, and then from 7:30 to 9:30, I think, Sunday morning. So that allowed for people to come and swim, get changed, go to work, get their kids to school, whatever. I mean, I swam through three pregnancies, and I worked up until 3.5 years ago, and was able to do this all that time. Now with the UMB pool not in very good shape and having to move because of the air quality, move to 50% capacity, our time slot got moved to 8 o'clock in the morning on the weekdays. That precluded, I think it's about 30% of our club members had to leave because they could no longer come because of work. So it's essential that we have the right time slot. It's essential that we have pool time. UNB is not, it's not their responsibility to provide a pool to the citizens of Fredericton. We provide hockey rinks to the citizens of Fredericton, baseball diamonds to the citizens of Fredericton, volleyball courts, tennis courts. You know, we provide all sorts of recreational facilities. I think we need a pool. And we need a pool that allows competitive swimmers, artistic swimmers, divers, and recreational swimmers to have a place where they can actually do their sport.
Arsenault says having a new pool will bring long-term health benefits to the community.
We use the pool to maintain our health. And where this ties in, because people are, of course, concerned about the cost of a new pool, because it's going to be $100 million figure for sure, right? That's a lot of money. And people want to see a return on their money of a project that large, and they see that as being a huge expense that the community can't really absorb. And I'm trying to make the point that in the past couple of years, the province alone has had to maintain, I think it's 600 alternate level of care beds in the hospitals. And those are seniors that don't have retirement homes to go to, right? So they're occupying hospital beds, right? Critical care hospital beds that critical care people now don't have access to. Not to the fault of seniors, they just don't have the capacity in the city or surrounding areas for the capacity to put them in. So they're in the hospitals, in the Dr. Everett Chalmers Hospital. Last year, they spent close to just over $200 million maintaining those people, seniors, in those hospitals. So the point I'm trying to make is that if we had a new pool that had the capacity to handle more seniors in terms of healthcare, because aquatic exercise is the absolute best form of exercise for seniors. It's not the only form of exercise, but it's one of the best. So here's an opportunity to keep seniors healthier, keeping them out of the hospital, freeing up those critical care beds, and saving that $200 million to be used for other types of things. So we're making the point that, you know, there is a payback here, and a very big payback on the provincial side that could hopefully, you know, be transferred back into the city in terms of helping build a pool or health types of facilities. So that's a very tangible savings to the community.
McFarland also thinks that having access to a pool is important for people who want to maintain their health.
People who can't do other activities are able to do aquatic sports and aquatic fitness. So it just opens up a whole new level of maintaining health in our community.
For the Fredericton Aquatics community, keeping their cause in the eyes of the public and Fredericton City Councilors remains a priority.
We're trying to get the city to help finance the maintenance of the pool until a new one's built.
And that's the next step for us, is getting all the councilors, talking to them individually to get their full support for UNB for SME to stay open. We don't have a place to go if the pool is to be shut down.
Getting public awareness, you know, building a community to, you know, accept getting a new pool built and trying to get this thing built as quickly as we can. And so far, I think we're doing a pretty good job of it. It appears now that City Hall is very aware of it. In fact, it became a significant election issue, which I think was one of the things that we helped bring to bear. And as I say, we're taking a positive approach to this, to work with whoever we have to work with to get this built, both in keeping the SMA pool open and getting this new pool built.
The biggest way that people can help at the moment is really contacting City Council, making sure that it stays prevalent in those conversations and keeping that issue moving forward, for sure.
That's the challenge for us, is we say we need to really show everybody how important that pool is for us at the moment.
There's a lot of people that are very passionate about aquatics and aquatics at all levels, and really highlighting the fact that it really is, we use the term cradle to grave activity, right? Like it's really important for kids to learn how to swim. We then have youth who choose to join aquatic sports. And then we also have people who are using of the aquatic facilities for just maintenance of health. So it's really an issue that affects a lot of people, for sure.
So July the 18th, which is a Saturday, the Fredericton Aquatics community is putting on a demonstration day. We'd like to have people from the public there to help understand what different aquatics sports and leisure activities, what they are. So we're going to have the UNB Masters Club is doing a demonstration of what we do, and we'll have the UNB head coach actually is going to come and do some, I don't know what she's going to do with us, but train us for half an hour or an hour and sort of show what competitive swimming or recreational competitive swimming looks like. The artistic swimming group, so that's formerly synchronized swimming, they're going to do a demonstration of what synchronized swimming is. And then hopefully we'll have people from the public there to see what that looks like and maybe generate some more interest for our clubs. But just to understand what swimming is and how important, why it's important for so many people.
The Fredericton Aquatics Demo Day will run from 10:30 a.m. to noon at the Henry Park Outdoor Pool. As Cunningham noted, all are welcome to come out and try a master's swim practice, which runs from 10:30 to 11:15, and an artistic swimming practice, which runs from 11:20 to noon. In a statement emailed to CHSR, City of Fredericton spokesperson Marley McClellan said, "The City of Fredericton remains dedicated to delivering on a new aquatic facility for residents as envisioned in the Recreation and Leisure Master Plan and continues to explore viable opportunities for collaboration on this facility with community partners. Building a new aquatics facility is a priority for the city. However, it is a significant investment for partners, so these conversations take time. The city has submitted expressions of interest to both levels of government for funding and has applied to the federal government's Build Communities Strong Fund." If you're just tuning in, you're listening to This Week in Fredericton, right here on CHSR 97.9 FM. We just talked to the people fighting for a new pool in Fredericton, and now we're going to take a trip to the Charlotte Street Arts Center for a celebration of the talent of local youth. On Thursday, July 9th, local youth that took part in the Charlotte Street Arts Center's Learn to DJ program got to show off their skills at a dance party held for them and their peers. The event was not only a celebration of the Learn to DJ program, but a way for youth taking part in all kinds of Charlotte Street Arts Center programs to gather, celebrate, and socialize. Other programs include Afro-hip-hop dance classes, girls' rock camp, and photography classes. You only need to hear from the youth themselves to know how much it means to them.
Yeah, they're fine. I can do it for my whole life.
It was very fun, and I liked it, and I enjoyed it all the times.
I like to DJ. I like to how to make song.
I learned how to play drums there, and I never really played anything else other than piano before. But now I know way more instruments because of this.
Oh yeah, it's a photograph class, and I will take pictures of bridge and flowers and people, and I'm so happy.
Oscar Teku is the outreach manager at the Charlotte Street Arts Center and brings these programs to life for participants. We caught up with him after the July 9th DJ Showcase.
Today was basically a culmination of our programming that we provide for like newcomer youth. So earlier this year, we did like an Afro hip hop like dance class where an instructor would come in and she would teach routines. And then there was a new routine like every class was a new routine. And then we did a DJ class because they're big on dancing. So music and dancing is like really important to them. So now that they're out of school, they're all part of the summer program. There's like 120 of them or something. You saw there's a lot of them. So I thought it was a great opportunity to showcase kind of what they learned in class and just like get the chance to be on stage and just dance with their friends. You know, that's at the end of the day, like that's what I want our programs to be. I want them to be fun and I want them to have like an outlet, whether it's dance, whether it's DJing, whether it's you know, raw camp, whether it's photography. It's really nice to see them just have fun.
The Charlotte Street Arts Center often partners with the Multicultural Association of Fredericton.
We partner with them quite a bit. You saw how many kids they have, and they're always looking for opportunities for their youth. So, you know, that's what what outreach is just providing barrier-free arts programming. So, you know, we do a lot of work with them. We do a lot of work with the LGBTQI+ community, and then we do a lot of work with the Indigenous community.
Teku has a very personal connection to his work that inspires what he does.
Well, you know, I'll speak a little bit about like, you know, where I come in my role, and I'm a refugee, and I moved here to Fredericton in 2002, and I was one of those newcomers. I was one of those youth, you know, and I received free music classes. I received sponsorships to go to certain camps and stuff. And I really clicked with music, and it did something for me. And then I continued to do music programs and music classes, and eventually I found my community, the music scene here in Fredericton. So essentially, that's what, you know, we try to do here at the Art Center, is to be like, if you like, you know, not everyone that comes and does our programming will gravitate towards, you know, DJing or dancing or photography, but there's the few that it does click, it does something for them, and they maybe continue and pursue it, you know, into their teenagehood and when they're young adults, and who knows, maybe they go to the craft college or something to pursue art, or they get into sound production or anything like that. So it's really cool to see like the kids who, like, it kind of does something for them.
I'm Zach Roman, and thanks for listening to This Week in Fredericton, the show that takes a deep dive into the latest news from your community. We're on the air every Friday from 11:30 a.m. to noon, right here on CHSR 97.9 FM. I also do daily news updates, which run during the Lunchbox with Mark Kilfoyle. Yesterday, I reported on a rally that happened Wednesday at Wilmot Park. In case you missed it, here's the story. Fredericton residents rallied in support of increasing access to cooling on Wednesday. The Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, ACORN, was at the Wilmot splash pad to bring attention to the fact they're fighting to get the province to implement a free air conditioner program for low-income renters. They'd also like to see the province provide energy rebates for low to moderate income ratepayers to offset the costs of cooling.
My name is Arthur. I have been coming out to ACORN events for a few years now, just kind of broadly, because I think the work that ACORN is doing is really important. What we're trying to work on now with this event and a few throughout the summer is trying to share information and advocate for means of controlling temperature inside apartment buildings and apartment units. With increasing climate change and like these heat waves that we've been having, it's really putting people in danger, especially people with pre-existing medical conditions and like very young and very old people. So people are basically in danger because of these heat waves. And there's some things that landlords and property management companies and things like that can do to help offset that. I have a really great landlord, and we have a heat pump in our unit, but I'm in a situation where I take medication that makes me extra sensitive to temperature extremes. Before I leave the house, I have to look at what the temperature is and then kind of like add 10 degrees and basically go out into, you know, the outside world as if it's, you know, 35 degrees or 40 degrees. And there are some people who are in that situation who don't have heat pumps, and they're in that same kind of danger zone when they're just, you know, sitting in their apartment or in their house. We're advocating for the government to create some kind of initiative. Like we have a draft for how it might work, but in a similar kind of vein, have a subsidy or like some kind of a program that would help people apply for cooling assistance or help landlords and property owners to retrofit their properties in a similar way to facilitate, you know, safe cooling conditions.
Nicola Taylor is the chair of the NB at Large chapter of ACORN. She led yesterday's rally.
We're fighting for things like maximum heat bylaws as well as AC for all campaigns, because you know, tenants are disproportionately affected by extreme heat events that we see in summer, and we just want to make sure that everybody has access to cooling system. AC used to be seen as a luxury, now it's a necessity with the heat that we're seeing in the last few summers. And after the 2021 heat dome in BC, 98% of the deaths that occurred happened indoors, and that's down to the fact there was inadequate cooling. So we're calling on the New Brunswick government to bring in a program called AC for All, where low-income people have access to AC, and also a rebate program in order to help them pay for that as well in summer.
If you have a news tip, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us by email at news@chsrfm.ca. I'm Zach Roman, and that was This Week in Fredericton.